This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
I've seen so many things online over the weekend, and I have to turn it off and stop. But are you getting the feeling that other countries are honing in on this and using it to further pit Americans against one another? Because I swear to God, some of the stuff I've seen online from anonymous accounts and such are just designed to stoke anger and fear against each other. Yeah, it's not necessarily always coming from somebody over here with a strong opinion or somebody over there with that strong opinion. I'm seeing so many things that look manufactured that are put out there specifically just to piss people off. Yep. And just stoke the anger. I feel like there's so much of that going on right now, and it's a prime time to do it. I would not be surprised if you have foreign powers out there that are seizing this moment, and so many of us are going and taking a giant bite of that apple.
So going back to my roots of the world of counterintelligence, yeah. I will tell you, I'd be surprised if it wasn't the foreign actors doing a lot of that, because it's called active measures.
Yeah.
You know, so Russia, I worked Russia most of my career, and there's one difference before Putin took over and after Putin took over. Before Putin took over the country, they called it, you know, United States and NATO allies are number one. I can't remember which came first, chicken or the egg, but it was called the number one enemy. And then after he took over, yeah, they revamped Glasnost and all these things. Then it became the number one threat, you know. And so nothing's ever changed. The easiest, and you and I have talked about this, I think, Tony, was the easiest, cheapest way to take down a world power like the United States is not to match us military for military. That'll never work. Our GDP is too high. You know, you just can't. But what's really, really easy is to get a lot of bots and sow the seeds of discontentment. The greatest thing, because and I'll be the glass half full kind of guy, the greatest thing we have as a country that it actually was the hardest thing I ever had to work with was the Constitution. I mean, we protect, you know, all these things that people think about the FBI can do this and this and this or monitoring everyone. Oh, my God. It was the most challenging thing in the world to actually use a sophisticated technique beyond recruiting a confidential human source, you know, going to talk to someone to give you information, because anything else that required an intrusive enough in someone's personal life, it required an act of Congress almost to me. I mean, it was just so hard to do. And then you had to justify, you had to go up on it. It was a really, really laborious, rightfully so, because we have these civil liberties that we protect and we uphold regardless of politics. And what happens is that we have this Constitution, which gives us the freedom of speech. So it is a great tool and resource we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as a nation, but it's also the greatest vulnerability, because this is what these foreign actors will come in and do, because they will go on these online platforms. They will sow this discontent, because the greatest threat that we have, that any organization and institution has, again, let's look at my love of history. Mm-hmm. The thing that binds us together as a species beyond the 150 number tribes of the chimpanzees is our ability to have a belief system. And it's, yeah. And the greatest, believe it or not, the greatest belief we have is in these pieces of paper. It's like the only reason we exist as a country is because we have a collective group of people that believe in a piece of paper about this thing called the Constitution. The reason why we have commerce is because we believe in this thing called cash, because we say it has value, it has value. Mm-hmm. And when people stop having trust and faith in a system, the system collapses within like this. Mm-hmm. And so what's the goals of these nation states and foreign actors and people that do not have our best interests at heart because they're battling for our resources? The easiest thing to do is have us defeat ourselves through a lack of trust and confidence in our organizations, institutions. And so that's why it's so important for when we see the negative, we flush it out. But also when we see the effort being made to reinstitute a trust and faith in our organizations, institutions, that we do so. And this, in cases like this, it's very, very probable that foreign actors are coming in to capitalize on people having distrust of each other, our institutions, our organizations, blah, blah, blah.
We're not good at deciphering when it's just someone else's opinion or it is someone that's trying to to pit us against each other. I mean, we're good at pitting ourselves against each other by ourselves. But when we add that in, how do we avoid any of this other? I mean, it feels like we're not bright enough as a society to recognize a lot of these things when it's being thrown at us like that. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a foreign actor or it is Joe Bob down the road with his opinion, we're not good at dealing with the content, whether it came from Joe Bob or if it came from Russia. We're immediately angered or diametrically opposed, and we don't have the curiosity there. How on earth do we pull this back where we people don't just dig deeper into their tribes of and then sow more seeds of hate against one another? I mean, it seems so damn hopeless right now.
Ego suspension is the hardest thing in the world to do, but it's the only solution to it. Again, 22 plus years of reps of learning how to let go of what I thought and try to embrace what someone else is saying. If you want to make that connection, that's the only way we're going to do it. I mean, just so here, do our little thought experiment here. And we see this all the time in the movies. We see it all the time when it plays out, when someone posts it on the news. And we can actually do our little thought experiment right now regarding this assassin. Mm-hmm. So right now, he's not cooperating with law enforcement. All right. So, and they got him in isolation. He's not talking to anyone. But because we have a track record of understanding, he's got a need to correct others. He has a need for pontificating and giving his thoughts and opinions, even if he's called quiet. He still has a need for a human connection. And so at some point, if you want to be successful in eliciting exactly what was on his mind, because he's got a record of telling you exactly what's on his mind, mm-hmm. at some point, you put an empathetic law enforcement officer in there to have a conversation with him. And the way you have a conversation with him is to try to understand, hey, what was that inspiration to kind of start walking that path all those years ago? Mm-hmm. And you just sit and listen. Allow him to teach and educate you, because that's what he wants to do. And you be curious about those things. As he says one thing that you haven't quite heard before, you make note of it. You explore it. Again, you be actively curious. I can almost guarantee you that's exactly what is going to happen. Because think about this. We've seen people confess to horrible crimes. I know law enforcement officers all the time, and I say, hey, has anyone ever gotten a confession from someone? And all the hands go up. And I say to them, exactly what did you do to get that person to say things that weren't in their best interest, and yet they shared it anyway? Mm-hmm. And I said, was it because you're seeking their thoughts and opinions, or were you going on and on about what your own were? Were you talking in terms of what they thought was important, their challenges, their priorities, their pain points in life, or are you lamenting about your own? Mm-hmm. Three, were you non-judgmentally, and that's the word, non-judgmentally actively curious, or are you sitting there in judgment? Because if you are going to inspire someone to share information with you, to make a connection, it's not about, you have to have the courage to know that you're not right, or you might not be right from their point of view. From yours, yes, but no one cares. You have to have the courage that you can withstand your own morals and ethics, can withstand hearing someone else's point of view without judging it. And finally, you empower them choice about how they move forward. If you cooperate with me, I can be an advocate. You don't have to. And so when you apply these keys of communication, who wouldn't confess? Because everyone's looking for rationalization, the justification. They're called RPMs in interviewing. Rationalizations, projections, minimizers. It all is appliance. Like, how do you make that conversation about them? We as human beings have a need to connect. We have a need to want to share. We have a need to be accepted for our thoughts, opinions, and ideas. And I guarantee you this. He completely feels justified in every action he took. Just look at that mugshot of him. Very smug, very arrogant, because he's not curious about anything else right now. And you put someone in there that's got the ability to do that, 100% I think he's going to confess. Confess. To the right person, he will share all those data points. I think his lawyer is going to tell him whether to confess or not.
Interesting.
I mean, we seem to be in a very different, obviously we are in a very different world than we were many years ago. And it's not like sending your children off to college and they're going to go explore new things. They're going to explore different ideas. Their opinions may change. They may try this belief for a little bit, try that. A lot of people do that. That's life. That's how we evolve. It's how we really figure out who we are from out of the nest. It's the dangers of those connections that we make. That seems to be the big difference than what we used to have. And we hear terms like radicalization and things like that. And a lot of times immediately, and we've talked about this the other week, the thing that I think a lot of us of certain ages of, 30, 40, 50, Plus, we think of like Islam and we think of 9/11 and that sort of radicalization. It's happening in your living room on video games. It's happening on, you know, Call of Duty. It's happening on, and I'm not just trying to pick on a certain game. It's happening on all that sort of shit. Right. And it's and there's nothing wrong with playing those games. I get it. But there are people out there where it is being radicalized. And our... I know we think like there's this boogeyman in the corner that's pulling the kids in and I'm going to radicalize you with this belief. They're radicalizing each other, like just their own circles of hate and anger. And while we all simulate murdering each other, let's air all of our grievances. And there's not the loving critic or the adult in the room that says, everybody take a breath. Let's not keep getting so amped up in this. There's not the foreign actor or somebody else amping these kids. They're doing it to themselves because there doesn't seem to be anybody else that's telling them to take a break, or even if they are, they're feeling more empowered over here in this group of all these people who are just reconfirming their echo chamber of beliefs and having no desire to hear anybody over here saying, hey, take a breath. Life's more than this.
And they're not saying, I mean, they're not sitting around saying, hey, we're a bunch of radicals.
They're not, because they don't think of themselves as that. And I think that, like, are we completely missing the boat here in this country where this stuff is going on literally in our own eyes, in our own rooms, our own living rooms, on our television? I mean, this stuff is happening directly in front of us, but we don't seem to grasp that that's what's going on. I don't think we want to admit it's going on. I don't think we want to accept that people can be so easily radicalized, which they can. We don't want to think about this idea that there's this whole generation of young people that have been brought up in a very different world than the rest of us have, where fear has been the ongoing theme. I mean, this guy's 22. Fear has been the ongoing theme of society pretty much his entire existence. So when that's all you know, I mean, you look at the recipe of this stuff and you go, okay, I'm not surprised you have people that come to these sort of extreme, horrible, horrible ways of beliefs and have no tools of how to process this without going to violence, but we're not doing a whole lot to tamper that down or give people other directions to take that energy.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.